You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 512.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm good. Here we are. We got a few silly little things to try to get through today. That's the plan.
I love it when our show has silly things in it.
That's practically the plan every week. Let's start, of course. What are we doing for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
We've got a big milestone birthday to celebrate for a celebrity who's going to allow us to indulge in our joy of talking about the 80s, because on March 3rd, Jennifer Warnes is turning 75.
Jennifer Warnes. She's come up on the show a couple of times.
She definitely has.
Jennifer Warnes, I think I know from three things. I'm sure she's done a lot more than that.
Well, the obvious hits are the Growing Pains theme song.
Yes.
For at least some of the seasons.
Some of the Growing Pains seasons, yet as long as we've got each other, the theme from the Growing Pains, it was a duet. Jennifer Warnes and BJ Thomas.
BJ Thomas.
Yeah. But for most people, a duet with BJ Thomas for the Growing Pains theme would be the biggest duet, the biggest song, the biggest highlight of your whole career. But that's not even her biggest duet.
No, it isn't. Because she recorded with Joe Cocker, Up Where We Belong.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I wasn't even thinking of that duet.
Really? Because obviously there's also teaming up with Bill Medley to record I've Had the Time of My Life.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I forgot. You shocked me with Up Where We Belong.
You forgot about Up Where We Belong?
Yeah, I was only thinking the Dirty Dancing song. Sure, man, she was cranking out the duets.
The 80s was her decade.
That was your go-to 80s duet lady.
And it 100% holds up.
She must not have been available when Phil Collins went to do Separate Lives. So then he had to go find, what's her name? Instead. Marilyn Martin, of course. But and Jennifer Warnes, I know, had her own big hit song, It's the Right Time of the Night. That might have been in the 70s.
She also had I Know a Heartache When I See One.
I don't know that one. When did that happen?
That was in the 70s,
I think. That was 70s also? Okay. So she was around a while.
Yeah, she still is. Back in 2018, she released an album.
Huh.
And, I mean, she's timeless. She was covering songs by, just to mention one, Pearl Jam. She covered Breathe by Pearl Jam and sounds amazing.
Jennifer Warnes was covering Pearl Jam just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it sounds really good, too.
Nobody told me this was happening.
Well, because she's turning 75 on March 3rd, now you know.
Wow, okay. I guess I had not been giving enough thought to Jennifer. I feel like I think about Jennifer Warnes more than most people, but apparently it still wasn't enough. I'm so sorry, Ms. Warnes. We all still have a lot to learn from her.
Well, I'm glad she's still at it.
Happy birthday, Jennifer. We have a little more 80s music talk coming up this week, but let's see. Let's do something else first to mix it up. What do I have on my big list of goofy stuff? Oh, how about chickens in the news?
Yes, let's do that.
And now, the Flopcast presents Chickens in the News.
Let's do chickens in the news, because this is an actual, very recent, actual news item featuring a chicken.
This is the real deal chicken news?
Yeah. This story was sent to us by my friend Virginia. Oh, a good friend of mine. Virginia found a chicken story. Here it is. I mean, the headline says it all. The headline is from the Washington Post, Wandering Chicken Seized Near Pentagon.
Was it a menacing chicken?
There's a chicken trying to break into the Pentagon.
Whoa.
There was a report of a chicken, a hen, wandering around at a security area outside the Pentagon.
Well, that is a very strange place for a chicken to be.
They have not revealed the specific checkpoint where it happened for security purposes.
Well, if they reveal that information, other chickens are going to get in.
The Arlington, Virginia Animal Welfare and Humane Society responded to scoop up the chicken. It's a Rhode Island Red. That's a good-looking chicken.
Yes.
Oh, I've got a picture of it here. There's a picture of the chicken, the captured chicken, the captured enemy spy chicken inside some kind of little special chicken container.
Can you imagine being this chicken?
So it was taken into custody. It was fingerprinted. It was photographed.
Wait a minute. How can you tell when a chicken is sneaking versus just getting around the way a chicken does?
You got to look it in the eye. It's how shifty are those little chicken eyes. Yeah, okay. That's how you tell. That's the tell. After they captured the thing, they threw it out to the public on Twitter, I assume, to name the chicken.
This is where things get fun.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not as much fun as it should have been, because this says the winning name, the name of the chicken now, is Henny Penny.
What?
I know that that's like a famous chicken story, right?
It is. But
like from fairy tales. Or folk tales.
It's not about espionage or anything.
Not at all. I don't think. That's not The Sky Is Falling. The Sky Is Falling. That was Chicken Little. What did Henny Penny do?
Right.
I don't even remember. I know the name. I know that's one of the top names in chickens is Henny Penny. But what did Henny Penny do?
Did Henny Penny bake things for her family and she tried to get them to help?
Yeah, maybe. That sounds familiar. Look at us being stumped by children's stories. Anyway, yeah, I'm not too impressed by the name. I don't even know if this actually went out to the public. This says league staff members named the thing Henny Penny.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe they didn't leave it up to Twitter.
That's not quite as fun.
Yeah, so on Twitter they wrote suggestions welcomed, but they didn't actually put it to an official vote. Who knows what kind of horrible things the general public would have come up with. But maybe it's for the best that the thing got named Henny Penny. But anyway, the chicken got a name and then was sent to live at a local animal sanctuary. Well, it's going to break right out of that animal sanctuary. What kind of security do you think they have at a local animal sanctuary?
Not something...
This chicken almost broke into the Pentagon.
Right. I'd place bets on that chicken being back in the Pentagon in no time.
This chicken needs to be in a maximum security lockdown. No animal sanctuary can hold me, bragged Henny Penny. Well, Cornflake, that's the story of Henny Penny, the escaped secret super international spy Rhode Island Red. Currently locked up at an animal sanctuary, but not for long. And that is chickens in the news. Thank you, Virginia. What else did I have here? I had a little more TV talk, really quick. Remember last week we were doing some TV talk?
Yeah.
Just kind of tossing out stuff that we've been watching lately. Well, I forgot one. I should have mentioned there's a show on HBO called, it has a real stupid name. It's called Somebody Somewhere.
I've never heard of this.
Not a great name. It's instantly forgettable. It doesn't mean anything. When you hear it, you can't remember it or you say it wrong. However, it's really good. It's called Somebody Somewhere. Fantastic show, if you can remember that name. It's set in like a small town in Kansas, I think. And it's this woman and her family. She's kind of trying to figure out her life. And there's been some like tragedy in the family. There's some dark stuff happening with her family. And she's kind of finding these new friends. And she's in a dead-end job. And, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But very, very funny. It's very sweet and poignant and all that. But also, it can be screamingly funny. Very realistic. I mean, you know, it's TV, but compared to most stuff. And the people on it look like people. Which I like, because, well, like every show, all those stupid DC comic shows that I watch, you know, Supergirl and Batwoman and all that stuff. It's like, here's Gotham City populated by nothing but supermodels, you know, just everybody in town.
Good point.
These look like real people that would live in the middle of nowhere, Kansas.
Oh, good. Okay.
Which is cool. And they're great. The cast, it's largely unknown people in this cast, and they're amazing. So I definitely recommend everybody give it a look. Somebody Somewhere is the name of the show. I bring it up now, Cornflake, because the mayor of Chickentown and I, just last night as we record, we were watching the latest episode, Somebody Somewhere, episode 6. There's a scene, like it's in the break room, and just as the scene is ending, and it's just a shot of a couple of people sitting at, you know, cafeteria tables, They fade to the next scene. Just as the scene is fading, I'm like, wait a minute.
What?
I hit the pause, rolled it back, and I'm looking at, there's a guy in the foreground as the main character is sitting in the background, right in the foreground. I'm like, isn't that our friend Insane Ian sitting there at the lunch table?
What? Oh, yeah, that is something that he does. He is an extra in TV shows and films.
I point this out to the mayor. I say, Mayor of Chickentown, look, isn't that Insane Ian? And she's looking at him like, I think that does look like Insane Ian. Look at that.
He has a very distinct look about him.
Sure. And I'm thinking, yeah, I believe Ian does some extra work. And then I remembered, I think they shoot this in the Chicago area, where our buddy Ian is located. It's set in Kansas, I think, but they shoot somewhere in Illinois. So I was like, I'm like 97% sure that's Insane Ian right there. So I took a picture of the screen, texted it right over to Insane Ian.
You did?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, oh, hey, thanks. I didn't know that was on already. Look at that. So then I called out to the mayor. All right, I've confirmed. Yes, that's Insane Ian.
Neat.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that do a lot of extra work like that. I know Ian does that. Our friend Bobby Nash, good friend of the ESO Network, who's a novelist, also appears in a lot of shows that shoot down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. He's been on like Doom Patrol and he's been on Ozark. What do you think of that extra work? Do you think you could do it?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Want to be an extra?
There's nothing extra about me, Kevin. I
feel like we're extras on the Flopcast. We're largely here just to kind of fill out the background.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Ian told me it was really fun, which is good to hear. And it's a really nice show. I'm going to give Ian, let's say 45% of the credit for how much I've been enjoying this show, Somebody Somewhere.
I'm sure he would love that.
And he has a new record out, right?
Yeah, Illinois.
Illinois. See, he is Illinois-based. Ian's new record is called Illinois. That's good.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, so check out Somebody Somewhere and look for our friend Ian. He's in the lunchroom. Episode 6. Now, Cornflake. We're actually recording this. This show's not going to be out until, the end of February, I suppose. But we are recording this on February 22nd, Tuesday, February 22nd.
Emphasis on the 2 in Tuesday.
You know what this means. Today's that wacky 2 day that everybody's so excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Were you excited about this?
Oh, I love this. I love numbers, so I think this is great fun.
I'm more excited next month for March 33rd. Just let me have my little dreams, will you? Today we're celebrating
March 33rd and a third.
Today we're celebrating February 22nd, 2022. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Taco Tuesday.
It's Tuesday in every sense of the word. We realized right before we were recording, we started doing some math because this is episode 512, which is a power of 2 number. We did the math. It's 2 to the what? 2 to the ninth.
Yes.
2 to the 9th is 512. So even the Flopcast is part of this big Tuesday spectacular.
We meant to do that.
It was a Flopcast miracle. Anyway, the sad little way that I thought we could acknowledge this big Tuesday is, you know, I've been playing with my giant book of 80s pop music stats.
Yes.
Which I've been telling you about. I've got this giant book here. It just came out last year. A book called Ranking the 80s by Bill Carroll. And it's just a giant book of stats about songs on the pop charts in the 80s, songs and albums and artists, all that stuff.
Wait a minute, we're going to discuss 80s music twice on a show on the Flopcast?
Twice for Tuesday, yes.
That's excellent. I am fully on board.
And part of this book is, the main part of this book is, they took every single that was on the charts in the 80s. I think it's every single. It's over 4,000 songs. They mathematically ranked the popularity of every song based on its chart performance. They used very complex mathematical formulas and averaging and whatnot, and actually came up with a scoring system to determine an exact list of the popularity of every song ranked 1 through 4,000 something. So I thought for Tuesday, let's count them down. just the positions that only include the numeral 2, you know? So starting from song number 2,222. What do you suppose that is? Any guesses?
This is the 80s?
Yeah.
Is it?
Are you actually going to try to guess? Wow.
Yeah, I am.
That's impressive.
Why the heck not? Life is short. Is it? Oh, There's so many good choices that it could be. How about...
Just think of a song that's not quite as popular as 2,221 other songs.
Well, that is exactly how I am approaching this, Kevin.
Yeah, that's the scientific approach.
I think it is Through the Storm by Aretha Franklin and Elton John.
That's an excellent guess. You're so close, but not quite. The 2,222nd most popular song of the 80s, according to this book, is Man on the Corner by Genesis.
Yeah, I was really close there.
That's pretty close. You were in the neighborhood. In that one of the people you named for that duet was British.
It's true.
Just like the boys in Genesis, you know.
As I'm sitting here, I was trying to think of a Phil Collins song that didn't get as popular as the rest of the Phil Collins songs, and I couldn't think of any.
So you settled on Aretha and Elton.
I liked that song.
So Man on the Corner from Genesis. I'd forgotten this one. This is not one of their biggest hits.
I forgot about this one, too. And I dated a guy that was in a Genesis cover band.
I think you've mentioned that before, and it still kind of frightens me.
Me too.
Were you dating Mike Rutherford?
If only. All I need is a miracle.
The song Man on the Corner only got to number 40. Just squeaked into the top 40 at number 40. Songs from 1982. And comes in at 2222. All right, so now we're going to jump way, way, way up the list to song number 222.
You're going to let me guess again?
Yeah. Now, this has got to be a much more popular song than Man on the Corner, obviously. It's 2,000 songs more popular than that Genesis song. 222, what do you think?
I think it is Orinoco Flow by Enya.
Once again, very, very close.
Yeah?
222 is Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams, get into my car.
I'm sure there's an Orinoco Flow somewhere in an ocean. You're right. I was really close.
Was he yelling at Enya to get in the car?
I think he was. But you can't get Enya to go anywhere. That's kind of her thing.
Enya's very mysterious. This was Billy Ocean, 1988. This was a number one song.
Of course it was. That song was amazing. It still is. That song is still amazing.
This was a big one. He had a bunch of big hits. People forget how massive Billy Ocean was.
Well, maybe people in general forget how big Billy Ocean is, but we never forget.
You're a Billy Ocean fan, right?
Yeah.
We've discussed Billy here on the show once or twice before.
And the song that ranks at 222 is my favorite Billy Ocean song.
Is this your favorite?
Yes.
See, this is one of my favorites, but I always go back to When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going.
I vacillate between the two.
Because of the music video. With Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, Danny DeVito pretends to play the saxophone.
You can't go wrong with that.
And he's like the same size as the saxophone that he plays. That's great. But this one, this is a great video too. Do you remember the Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car video?
There was a car involved.
Oh, absolutely. There was a car involved. I watched this not long ago because I forgot how crazy it was. Now, when you talk crazy Billy Ocean videos, the conversation begins and ends with Loverboy.
Yes.
As our buddy Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion cannot stop teaching everyone about the majesty of the Loverboy video. But Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. I watched this one not long ago. And do you remember how the song begins? Where he yells, hey, you, get into my car. Then the girl answers, who, me?
Yeah.
That whole like yelling talking part before the song starts is in the video. And he's yelling. He's outside a car wash. And there's like a gang of people, like the attendants that work at the car wash. One of them's a girl who answers back the who me part. Then the song kicks in. She strips out of her car washing uniform into like a cute little dress she's wearing underneath that. And she's dancing around. Billy starts rolling his car into the car wash. It's a convertible. The roof of the car slowly comes back into place just as the car is rolling into the car wash.
And nobody has that level of chill quite like Billy Ocean does.
Yeah, that's how cool Billy is. And then he's going through the car wash, and there's like cartoon fish swimming around. They put in like this cartoon water effect inside the car wash, and there's a fish. It's like you're watching The Incredible Mr. Limpet. There's a fish in there. Then there's a duck. There's like a duck with a boombox, cartoon duck.
This is the music video that made me want to just continuously go through car washes as a kid. I'm still obsessed with car washes. I still think they are a good time. But I've never seen any animated fish in any of the ones that I've gone to.
Nobody does car washes like Billy Ocean. He gets out of the car wash. The girl hops in the car with him. They take off. The duck is still running alongside them, the cartoon duck going down the street. They get to a drive-in movie theater and pull in, and then up on the big screen, there's Billy Ocean and the cartoon duck performing the song.
I forgot about that part.
The more I think about this, 222 sounds way too low. This should have been...
This is a masterpiece. What do you mean, 222?
Should have been the biggest song of the 20th century, now that I think about it. Anyway, that's your number 222. I don't know that we're ever going to top that. But let's see what was at number 22. So we've got to be getting into super big songs now, Cornflake. 22, what do you think?
I think it's Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
That's an excellent choice, because Footloose has got to be way up there. However, the number 22 song of the 80s, this is a weird one. This is Coming Up by Paul McCartney and Wings.
Wait, what?
It's a live version of Coming Up. Coming Up live at Glasgow. Paul McCartney and Wings. Yeah, I mean, now this is 1980.
Oh.
Which is, that's barely the 80s. You know, 1980, the pop charts are crazy because it's still like the 70s, essentially.
True.
So there's a lot of big stuff from 1980 that just kind of seems very odd in retrospect. But this was a big hit song, which kind of you don't really hear much anymore, I think. So there you go. That's tricky. We never would have come up with that.
I don't know if I could even pull that song out of a lineup. Man.
Oh, I know the song, but I'm definitely surprised by how highly it's ranked in this book. All right, well, let's get off Paul McCartney anyway, because we have one song left on our big Tuesday countdown. Now, this obviously, Cornflake, this is no more fooling around. This has to be one of the biggest songs. Well, it's number two. What's the number two song of the 80s? What could that possibly be?
Oh, my goodness.
And just, you cannot think big enough at this point. Number two.
Oh, so it has to be a song that was probably on the charts forever.
Yes, this would have had a very, very long run.
I want so much for it to be a Hall & Oates song, but I think...
In fact, I'll even tell you, this was a number one song, and it was number one for 9 weeks.
Was it Take On Me by A-ha?
It was not Take On Me, but I love that guess.
I'm going to kick myself. I'm sure I noticed that there was some song that went on for 9 weeks at number one because I used to listen to those top 40s. And so I have to know, what was it?
As a regular Casey Kasem listener, I do remember how week after week after week this song just would not drop out of number one. The number two song of the 80s, Cornflake, from 1981, I believe. It's Diana and Lionel, Endless Love.
Oh, okay.
That was just inescapable for several weeks in the early 80s. That's just all we had. It's all you heard. Now, Lionel is, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, among the nominees for the Hall of Fame this year. Very, very deservedly so. Diana is already in as a member of the Supremes, but she has not been inducted as a solo artist yet, and I really think she should be. People forget what a massive solo career she had. There she is with Lionel. Oh, and of course, I have a personal connection to this song, is Sponge Awareness performed this as a duet with our friend Kim Jennings.
I love that version.
This was the song that kicked off several years of Sponge Awareness and Kim performing 80s duets.
It was all good.
Although we never did any of the Jennifer Warnes duets.
I would imagine that Kim would do an amazing Jennifer Warnes.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how we miss Jennifer Warnes, since she did most of the 80s duets where Jennifer Warnes was involved. Somehow we miss Jennifer, but we did indeed do Endless Love once, and that was a pretty ridiculous moment.
I was there for that. I saw that.
You were there.
I was.
Just openly weeping in the middle of the audience. I remember that.
That's how I spent most of the 90s and early 2000s, as I recall. Openly weeping.
Completely unrelated to what was happening on stage. You just happened to be just sobbing in the audience.
It is a wonder I have tear ducts left.
I remember that. All right, well, Cornflake, as 80s pop nerds, that's how we are celebrating Tuesday with a quick perusal of this giant book of 80s chart data ranking the 80s.
Which has more twos than anyone can use.
All the twos are there. Well, Cornflake, I guess before we wrap up, We got some podcasts to plug.
Let's plug them.
I have 3 or 4 podcasts to plug. Here we go. We were just speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Mike Faber, director Mike Faber of the ESO Network, and I, every year, we go on Pop Culture Cosmos, another show here on ESO. Mike and I are guests of Gerald over at Pop Culture Cosmos. Every year, we go on to discuss the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees, and that is Pop Culture Cosmos episode 285. So check that out for some more Rock and Roll Hall of Fame talk. And speaking of Earth Station 1, I was just on Earth Station 1 podcast just last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's episode 616. And I was there to play comic book trivia once again.
That's a good time.
Which, that's so fun. We've done that 4 times now, I think. And I usually do pretty well on the DC questions, and then I go down in flames on the Marvel questions. That's the pattern. So for more of that, definitely tune into Earth Station 1, episode 616. I think the main subject of that show was the movie Death on the Nile. And what else did I have here? Oh, for Patreon people, if you are a supporter of the ESO Network on Patreon, a couple of things for you. Well, for one thing, every month we do ESO Board Silly. That's me and the other ESO Network board of directors do an exclusive podcast just for the Patreon people. A little bit of sports talk on the latest episode. We were talking the Olympics mostly, even though I watched 0 minutes of the Olympics this year.
That's the best way to watch it, is to not watch it at all.
We did it, but we talked some Olympics and lots of other silly things as well on ESO Board Silly. And also for the Patreon people, there's the new show Earth Station DCU Classics. Episode 2 just came out. So Earth Station DCU Classics, that is Drew, co-host of Earth Station DCU. That's our DC Comics and DC TV themed podcast. It's Drew and me, but we're doing old stuff. You know, like Earth Station DCU, they cover the new stuff. On Earth Station DCU Classics, Drew and I, every episode, are going to talk about something older from DC. And the format is we are picking a year at random for every episode. We use the supercomputer, the Chickentown supercomputer we use to generate a year, and then we each pick something from DC Comics history from that year. For episode 2, the year was 1962, so we went way, way, way back, and we are discussing Aquaman, and we are discussing the Legion of Super Pets, you know, featuring Beppo the Super Monkey.
Just know that if you're using the supercomputer when I'm not around, I cannot be held responsible for what happens.
So many safety violations every time we need a random number around here, as you know.
So many safety violations, so little time.
But we're trying. Really fun show, especially if you're a old-time comic book nerd like us. So if you're a Patreon supporter of ESO, watch for those, ESO Board Silly and Earth Station DCU Classics. And Cornflake, man, that's enough podcast talk, and that's enough talk overall, I think, for now. How about we just get out of here?
I think it is time to go. And you can find us on the internet between shows. We're at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, too, the_flopcast. You can go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. We sure would be grateful. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation ranked in this book, we are the 2/4 most popular band of the 80s, according to the book ranking the 80s. I think they're giving us a little more credit than we deserve, but I'm not going to argue. Cornflake, thanks for a very festive Tuesday celebration once again. Everybody, thanks for listening. And of course, you know, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hey, Mike, I think I might have the new promo for Earth Station 1 for the spring. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Celebrating over 12 years of bringing you all things geek, we're the Earth Station 1 podcast. No matter the topic, we have been showing you all sides of geekdom with interviews, reviews, discussions, con reports, and as always, the Geek Seat. Join Mike and Mike weekly at earthstation1.com or wherever fine podcasts are found. That's Earth Station 1. What do you think? Is it okay?
That's fine. We'll do better next time. The world's longest-running comedy music concert series is back.
I'm literally only here because I'm desperate for human interaction.
That is the best ad for MarsCon, the comedy music track ever.
MarsCon 2022 is taking place March 11th through 13th at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Mall of America Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Yeah, I haven't performed in a year. Let's do the hard one first.
This year's event will have performances by The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Insane Ian, Power Salad, Steve Goody, Versatile Fluff, Meow Meme, Rothschild, Bad Beth and Beyond, and this year's music guest of honor, TV's Kyle and Linzilla.
There's only one thing to do. If you want to go moo moo, you do the cow.
Hopefully this year they'll remember to bring their cowbell.
I couldn't find it!
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't even have a cowbell.
It's in the closet under a bunch of plastic Japanese crap.
Worth it.
For more info on MarsCon, visit marscon.org.
Hello, Cornflake. You're still here because it's the Flopcast's secret after show.
Yes, we're here.
What are we doing?
Well, we're going to have our minds blown. That's what we're going to do, Kevin. Did you know that there is more than one duet from Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes?
I absolutely did not know that.
Brace yourself.
Was she the other Righteous Brother? I could never remember the other guy's name. It's Bill Medley and somebody. Was it Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes all along?
No.
I had no idea. She's the one singing Unchained Melody, hitting those high notes.
I bet she'd sound amazing singing that. But no, the two of them have another duet. It is called Show Me the Light, and it is from a movie soundtrack from 1998. There was a box office bomb, a star-studded box office bomb called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, animated. And it had Richard Simmons in it, Bob Newhart, Debbie Reynolds, among other voices.
This was like a theatrically released Rudolph cartoon movie?
In 1998.
Well, this is the first I'm hearing of it. Featuring the music of Jennifer and Bill.
I've got to find this soundtrack somewhere because it's got the Pointer Sisters on it, Paul McCartney, and these two. Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes.
Is Paul McCartney still singing Coming Up? His number 22 ranked 1980 hit?
They used Wonderful Christmas Time for this.
Oh no, that's even worse.
Yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.